Hey son, slay son. It's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by Link Humans, London's employer branding agency. This week is all about employer brand. Yep. Did you ever wonder how it came about? Who is its creator? What does he or she think about its current state? What is next for employer brand? All answers inside this very special episode. Let's start the show. All right, folks, this is an important session. The phrase "the employer brand" gets over 400,000 Google searches per year. You may want to check this for the latest figures. And it's known to management teams globally. Now, what's special for me is the chance I have to interview the creator of the idea, Mr. Simon Barrow, and he's here with me today. Simon, I'm grateful for you to taking part in this.
Jorgen, good morning, and thank you for asking me to be here.
Right, let's start from the beginning. What prompted your thinking in the first place?
Well, it started with brand management. The employer brand grew out of that. I was in brand management for 8 years, 3 years on Knorr, soups, sauces and stock cubes.
Yep.
Now a major Unilever brand, and then 5 years at Colgate. And the essence of brand management is the basis for my thinking. There are six key elements, and this is important because those six elements apply to the employer brand as well.
Mm.
The first is research and planning across consumer, trade, competition, the regulatory environment, etc. That's step one. Step two is the formulation of a strategy approved and supported by involved senior management. I couldn't have done the work I did in those two companies without that.
Mm.
Tough, aggressive, and they knew my job backwards. Third, the creation of a proposition which is distinctive, compelling, and rooted in reality. Fourth is the coherent execution across R&D, across the plant, distribution, sales, advertising, and promotion. The fifth, and this may surprise you, is constant liaison with a dedicated management accountant.
Mm-hmm.
Watching every step I took, being my advisor on the financial aspects of every aspect of the brand, in particular the margin. And six, rigorous measurement. Obviously, sales, the margin, the market share, distribution, users' attitudes and behaviors, competitive action, earnings versus budget and versus last year. Might be worth saying, what makes a good brand manager? I think one, they have to have the trust and respect of powerful line management and functions across the company. And that's based on knowing more about the brand than anyone else on earth.
Mm.
I think second, the ability to influence, inspire without line authority and at all levels, including senior European and global management. You'll know them because they will have reviewed your budget proposals anyway. And thirdly, a reputation for innovation. Colgate's line was you build a business through change and you change through innovation. It's quite a good, obvious line. And fourthly, intense focus on the commercial.
Mm.
The hard issues of the market, your product, your sales, your margin. Of course, the promotional action is important, but it's not where you make your name as a potential general manager. Here's a little story, which I will never forget. I'm about 28, 29. We've done an event in Manchester. I'm on the train on the way back, and I'm with Ralph Champlin, the sort of late 40s chief executive of Colgate in the UK, and we talk about the event, and he says, excuse me, I've got to read this report. So I open my bag, I take out a copy of Campaign Magazine, the advertising journal. Ralph notices it immediately. Do you read The Grocer? Quite an aggressive question, because The Grocer is, of course, about distribution and the market, and in his view, infinitely more important than media gossip and who's winning what.
Mm.
Despite that, Colgate later asked me to join the International Management Group, but I thought, one day I want to run my own business, so let's start by being closer to that sort of action.
Yeah.
And I found myself, after a few years, face to face with the responsibility of managing quite a large team. It seemed to me that the world of employment was dominated by the need to react. It wasn't much of a strategic focus. It was, what do we do? Somebody's resigned. How do we fill the gap? You will know that as with all your recruitment process.
Yep.
How reactive a trade it can be.
Mm.
It's also, I find it handicapped by the absence of strategy. Senior management involvement seemed to be lacking. Lack of research and lack of measurement. I asked myself, where were the six elements which I went through earlier? I thought how great it would be if the best of all that could be brought into this sprawling yet vital new area for me. It needed its own disciplines. And I called it the employer brand, and that was 27 years ago. It's a vastly different challenge. Believe me, I've done both. It's much tougher. Employer brand management is tougher than product management for two reasons. A consumer brand is about, to some extent, about lifestyle. The employer brand is about life itself. It's about your future, your self-esteem, your self-worth and those around you. It's deadly serious because your identity today is very largely a function of A, your skill, and B, your organization, whether or not it's your own. And the second is customers will know a bit about the brands they buy. An employee knows almost everything. You cannot fool them because they're already surrounded by reality.
Mm. And what issues did the idea have to surmount in the early years?
Well, I've got here the employer brand, Tim Ambler and Simon Barrow from the London Business School, July 1996. And I picked out some points which I think may be of interest. Number one, the introduction of marketing terms was a terrible problem for HR and internal communications. A, for the meaning, and B, for what they meant deep down.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, don't bring that marketing flim-flam here. There was no recognized language available in management speak for covering the combination of culture, brand, and reputation. Indeed, when we introduced corporate culture and employer brand as a concept, people always, it's the same, isn't it?
Mm.
What's new? It's just corporate culture. Well, clearly, they didn't know much about brand management. Here's a choice verbatim. We're doing nothing to promote an employer brand. It's something we need to work on, but I have more pressing issues. Which tells you something about, I'm afraid to say, some people would say that today. Not as many. And another one, frankly, we have so much to do at the present with the merger that we just want to get the basics right. An employer brand concept is nice, but it isn't essential. That was 1996. Now, I've done 40 M&As from the point of view of the people and cultural aspects. Believe me, when they fail because of this stuff.
Mm.
So to think that employer brand thinking in M&A is irrelevant, it's life and death.
But I would say perhaps employer brand in some situations is perceived as a nice to have until you have a problem with attrition or attracting STEM talent or similar.
People, it would be lovely if everybody said, this is a basic way in which we run a business.
Mm.
But we're not all as perfect as that. So often people are pitched into doing this stuff right when something bad happens.
Yeah.
You know, we're losing people. We cannot recruit X and Y. Why did we fail to get so-and-so and so-and-so? We're losing voluntarily, as opposed to people we fire involuntarily.
Mm.
So we got to think.
Yeah.
That's often, in my experience as a consultant, what often drives the first call.
Yeah.
It's not the best way, but it's more often the usual way compared to saying, how do we run this business in an outstanding way? One client once said, Simon, how do we make this ship move faster through the water? Well, that's a very big, broad question. I think the employer brand might be a way. That's why we want to talk.
I think there are some people out there who would argue that there is no employer brand, there is no consumer brand. Instead, there is only one brand. What would you reply to this?
Well, take McDonald's. McDonald's have that approachable, accessible, good value, formulaic, reliable, and friendly external reputation. Inside, I think it's different. I think McDonald's, I salute anyone who works at McDonald's. Not everybody can do that job. You have to show up. You have to be clean and reasonably well groomed. You have to have an easy manner with customers. You have to get on with staff. You have to follow a standard process. And as that wonderful response to the McJob slur.
Mm.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
In Webster's Dictionary, etc. I think David Fairhurst, who was running it then, was one of the great entrepreneurs and great thinkers in employer brand history to say, enough. This process of who we hire and who they are is a very special part. Indeed, I think McDonald's at that time were getting more feedback, more press mentions about their work and their people than they were about their product.
Mm.
So, of course, you can't have something that is totally different, but there is underneath a big customer brand, there is a pumping heart of an employer brand, and you need to salute that. Of course, much of it is in common. But I wouldn't be here, and this wouldn't have taken off in the way it has, if people felt that one brand, that's good enough.
Mm.
Of course, there's one brand, but the subset of it is what it's like to work there.
Yeah. And you mentioned about how employer brand took off. Did you expect employer brand to take off the way it has? And
It was a slow... I always had a belief in it because it is logically so strong. But it was a slow start for the reasons we unearthed with the LBS study I was quoting for just now. It's good to see the growth in the number of employer brand managers within organizations. It's good to see the continuing conferences around the world, the books and articles, and the number of Google searches is a good indication. I think there is a great deal more to do, but I'm sure we'll get on to that.
Yeah, and we met at a conference, didn't we, a few weeks back. And what would you say, what makes employer brand management so important today?
Well, in 1985, tangible assets, that's plant, machinery, buildings, cash, formed 56% of corporate assets. Today, that is just 20% of value.
Mm.
So 80% of value is in intangibles, what used to be called goodwill, in brands, in your ability to attract, engage, and retain and motivate great people. That's critical. That's what's driving this. It used to be the case in client service businesses, the general view that the key success factor was the ability to win clients.
Mm.
Doing the work was not the difficult bit. Winning it was difficult. I fundamentally disagree with that. In my view, if you run a service business today, it's the ability to win and engage great people. Start with them. My golden rule, I ran an advertising agency for 10 years, is rule one, do something great every 6 weeks. The best thing you can do is win great work. You can't guarantee to do that every 6 weeks. So, two, make a great hire. Three, write or say something which gets the whole industry talking about you and your firm. Our boss is speaking. He's speaking sense, and they pick up the feedback. This is all people related.
Mm.
And make some internal changes, hopefully for the better. And if you fail, then have a party for some reason. There's always a reason. never ever do nothing. Now, that's in the perilous world of London service businesses. I'm sure that is still pretty good advice. But it's needed in the great banks. It's needed in the great manufacturing businesses. It's needed everywhere today. And because good people today are loyal to their skill and their development. It's not just you. And thanks to social media, they're in a big fishbowl anyway.
Mm. So what are your top three tips to organizations employer brand management?
Okay, I think the first one is focus on the employment experience itself. How do you rate every key touch point? Because your people are going to be impacted by every one of them, whether it's their view of the worthwhileness of the work they do, the ultimate aim of the business, the commercial success. Who wants to work for a company that may be giving them a P45? Its culture, its colleagues. Do you like the people you work with? Have you got a friend at work, that old Gallup question? Your development, your training, how the leadership reaches you, does it even know you? Does it listen to you? What are the values underpinning your work, and in particular, the leadership's work? The behaviors that come out of them, the opportunities to speak, respect for alumni, recognition and rewards. I put them last. Of course, they're important, but they're just one of the ways in which, and often, some fantastic businesses don't pay top dollar because it's a privilege, joy to work there. I don't know. I'd love to know what Google and Apple pay at the lower levels. Anyway, that's a thought. The second, so focus on the employment experience. The second is get a board-level sponsor.
Mm.
And through them, get senior management actively involved. Functions like HR, marketing, corporate affairs, and internal communications. None of them can actually do this on their own. The leadership, as I said on my brand management a bit earlier, these functions can highlight the need. They cannot really lead the action. It has to come. My power as a product manager was because my plan became the corporate plan. Don't mess with that. Not because of me, but because it came from the top. So the connection with senior management is absolutely vital,
right,
to this area.
Mm.
And the third is, don't kid yourself that employer branding is the same as brand management. It isn't. Great employer brands are built on the basics which create the distinctive and compelling point of difference. You can't spin your way to an employer brand. people try and they fail. So employer branding is a problem for me. It has its role, of course, just like advertising has its role. But in this world where everybody knows the truth anyway, it's a reality at work that motors for you. So those are my top three tips.
Great. Okay. And what challenges would you say face employer brand thinking?
I'm afraid there's quite a number of them.
Okay.
But I think the first challenge is the perceived highly sensitive nature of so much employee and HR work. Going back to product management, most of the elements are outside the company. They're not political. They're commercial, but they're not political.
Right, yeah.
Okay? Changes can be difficult, but they're not that sensitive. Closing a brand, pulling out of a test market, it's just business.
Yeah.
Okay? I've made, in my brand management, I made two quite serious mistakes. I'll tell you one of them. At Colgate, I'm under great pressure for a major customer order for, I think, Tesco. And we need several hundred cases delivery for the following day. I shouldn't have done this. I call the supervisor of the plant in Manchester on my line, his line, but producing my product. And I said, could you... you're doing a night shift tonight. What's the maximum you could run the line at? Because we've got this big order for Tesco. And he says, okay, I'll do it for you. I shouldn't, but I'll do it for you. I run lines at the maximum speed. This is bad luck. The following morning, 7 a.m., the trade union representative comes in and says, how come the line is working at, 25% more than our agreement. The brand manager in London asked me, what? I should, of course, have gone to the plant director. Mm. I should not have taken that kind of decision, but I was forgiven. Now, it's an example of, at least it was forgiven for the, people knew the commercial pressure that the company was under.
Right.
But it was incorrect. But sometimes in marketing, you do have to behave in an entrepreneurial manner.
Mm.
Anyway, but in employer brand management territory, you're in the heart of the body corporate. You've got to face issues of territory, ego, ambition, personal competition, personal reputation, and all in the context of zero risk. You're not supposed to make mistakes in the world of HR and anything to do with personal management of other people. That's why so much corporate speak is so deadly dull. We may get onto that. I think that's the first point. The second point is, in many organizations, the senior management group are not involved and focused on this area. They have other fish to fry. I remember starting a project, first interview at a middle management level, and the guy sitting opposite me says, you do realize that this project is a complete waste of time.
Good thought.
I said, I'm very sorry to hear. Well, why is that? And the guy says, because until you've changed the behaviors at the top of this business, nothing will change. Now, spoken from the heart, clearly.
Mm.
A lot of that is true. Employer brand stuff that is, let's do a few interviews and let's see how we can get something good to say. You can't interview people and just say what you love about this business unless you also ask the reverse.
Mm.
So, of course, you're going to get feedback. And most feedback is invariably on the senior guys, the senior men and women at the top of the business. The third point is The employer brand concept is often seen as just an aid to effective recruitment.
Mm.
I mean, you personally will know a bit about that.
Yeah.
Establishing what can be said, undertaking some research with relevant targets, creating the communications and messaging required. Mm. Nothing wrong with that. But it's what good recruitment advertising has been doing for years. As I said earlier, advertising and communications is only part of good product management. And it only works when customers like the product anyway. But, oh yeah, it's part of the recruitment. Sometimes there's a recruitment, a talent management. It's tucked into HR, but its sole job is getting skilled people into the business. Now, of course, there's an employer brand aspect, but unless that individual has the ability to influence through fully-fledged employer brand management, he won't get anywhere. That brings me on to the role of human resources. This is a delicate area. HR is key. Its historic role is to ensure the provision of personnel needs and to deliver service without risk. But building a great employer brand, like any form of transformation, needs bounding confidence as well as commercial calculation and creative thinking. I mean, it takes courage to say, this is wrong. What's wrong with our business? This is why we're not recruiting or holding or making productive so many of our people. This is what we need to be. This is what we do and why we're different and why we're not for everyone. Employer brand management needs a broader provenance. Now, don't get me wrong here. If marketing took over employer brand management, they would fail. HR's sensitivity, reflection, knowledge, understanding, and humanity is vital to this. But my message to the HR community is use that base, but become a bigger fish in the world of brand management. Now, we've got a lot of way to go there. And that brings me on to employer brand work is not yet seen as a springboard to top management in the way that product brand management is. Yet, employer brand management deserves to be a springboard, because if you can get this stuff right, bearing in mind what I said about intangibles, and you have, in addition, the ability to manage people and money, you should be well set. I never worried about cash flow until I ran my own business. Then you really know.
I know.
As you do.
Yeah.
Many product managers have gone on to great things. I mean, John Allen, chairman of Tesco, he was a brand manager at Bristol Myers.
Mm.
And there are countless guys who have done that on both sides of the Atlantic. Now, indeed, the UK Marketing Society 2 years ago did some work with a leading headhunter, I think Spencer Stewart, on this subject. How many marketing people get to the top? You know, look at the FTSE 100 and the Fortune 500. Okay, in consumer-facing businesses, which is a bit of a weasel, how about all businesses, but they took consumer-facing businesses, mm-hmm. which obviously improved the figures a bit,
yeah.
in my view. And the answer was 18% of FTSE chief executives have had serious, significant marketing experience, and 21% of the Fortune 500. Where are the figures from? Obviously, finance will be higher than that.
Yeah.
Legal, maybe. Operations.
But not HR.
Sales, but not HR. No. Why not? Isn't it the vital area? So what's happening? So, recruitment communications. This is continuing on the employer branding. Just look through the career websites of any employment category you know and read them all. And you will get tired looking at the same words and images being used. It's terrible. Most of it is terrible stuff. it's not the creator's fault. They could do better. But the aversion to risk is so severe that although you can be yourself and take risks with the customer, back on the ranch, it's very tough. Let me read you some, and these are from the best six marketing companies in the world. We'll look at their website. To be the best, we need the best brands, the best processes, and most importantly, the best people. We celebrate the risk takers, the doers, the believers, the makers, thinking globally, acting locally. One crucial ingredient, you. Collaboration and mutual respect, commitment to internal mobility, perfect environment to create success for yourself. A people company, it's our responsibility to care for the world. You'll be inspired and see the difference. We hire the person, not the position. A job here is a career made by you, with development opportunities, benefits, and a working culture that embraces diversity, etc., etc. Take the brands away, the great brands. There's nothing compelling or distinctive about that. So think what it costs to put a really fancy career website together. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a career website, but if you're going to have it, try and reflect the truth of how people actually express themselves. Now, there's one. You mentioned L'Oreal. To L'Oreal's credit, the CEO of L'Oreal, way back, a man called François Dalle, said, comme L'Oreal, je suis poète et paysan à la fois. I first heard that in a slightly different way. Work like a peasant, think like a poet. L'Oreal is renowned for being very hard work and being creative. So go public on it. But nobody in the mouths of Sundays is going to say, work like L'Oreal, work like a peasant, think like a poet. But you won't forget that. They did, I'm told by an insider, they did think of running, of thinking on those lines, but peasant in the United States is so insulting that they backed off. So which again is the demon risk again. But maybe think of something different. What else?
Yeah, so ROI is always the big question. It's the million-dollar question. What are the most effective ways to measure return on investment?
Well, there are numerous ones that I've got. I would suggest a pretty basic one. What are you spending on recruitment pre and post? What is your voluntary and involuntary turnover and what's happened, particularly to voluntary turnover, particularly if you were the people who, if it was under your watch that these guys were hired, what did you do wrong that they should choose of their own volition to go? You can ask the same for how come we, if it's involuntary and you fired somebody, how come you recruited them? How come the appraisal systems over the months were probably pretty average? And all of a sudden, they're gone. So it makes a nonsense of the appraisal system if you can't tell the truth. The net promoter score. The measurement of internal promotion versus hiring in. If you have to hire in for too many senior and middle management roles, what's the matter with your ability to bring on great talent inside? Your productivity, however that's mentioned. And I'd add alumni performance. If you cannot celebrate great alumni, why should good people join you? Are they going to be there forever? Almost certainly not. If you can't do that, one of the things I'm proudest of, I think, in my time as an employer, is that six, what used to be called millionaires, well, millionaires isn't much of a, it's not regarded today as rich, but six people in that bracket have worked for me in the past. I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
Okay. What's next?
Well, what companies would you rate, in your opinion, as outstanding employer brand managers today?
That's a good question. I would rate, with one exception, none of these have appeared yet in the Employer Brand Management Awards. Question, why not? I would say Goldman Sachs is an outstanding employer brand. It's tough. It's truly diverse. It's unforgiving. It has potentially life-changing earnings, and it has fantastic alumni. Will you find any of that in whatever they say online? Maybe not. Not in the way I've just said it. Hiscox, the insurance business, they have transformed a dull industry. The senior management involvement in the employer brand, the as good as our word, which applies absolutely internally as well as externally, their creativity and their teamwork. Cook. Have you heard of Cook? Frozen food brand?
Oh, yes, yes.
850 people making outstanding frozen food. I ate a boeuf bourguignon last night in Sittingbourne, Kent. Employer brand leadership ticks all the boxes, including one, which is the managing director was the human resource director. Unilever, great world group. And I think I put it in this list because it's got its heart in the right place. That's not just me. Note the reaction to the Kraft bid earlier this year and the strength of opposition, emotional as well as financial, that greeted it. Note its commitment to sustainability in all respects. Decency may be an odd word to use in a commercial context, but they have it, and I respect them. McKinsey. It's tough to get into, but it's a personal brand for life.
Yes.
It's a true academy company. And again, just look at their alumni. And finally, John Lewis, the UK retailer with 80,000 or so partners, measures itself on their happiness, one of the founding beliefs, the happiness of our people. And a boss who gets a bonus, exactly the same percentage of his or her salary as everybody else. It's distinctive. It's compelling.
So out of those, which is your number one favorite?
Well, I would say I'd like to say Cook.
Yeah.
But they're a relatively small brand. Mm-hmm. I would say of all of them, and it's testing, I would say Unilever.
Okay, so if we look into the crystal ball, what's the next big thing for employer brand thinking and maybe your own role in that as its original creator?
Well, there are four things that are keeping me busy, whether I'm writing about them or doing something about them. And the first one, I believe the employer brand is a great concept, but it remains too daunting a challenge for many of those presently responsible. The typical, and I've interviewed a number of employer brand managers, they get this, but they are trapped within the business of doing stuff right, which will engage, communicate, and recruit. Points we made earlier. Getting into the root of what's going to transform the place is not really their bag. And what are their career ambitions? Maybe head of corporate affairs, maybe head of HR. Point I made earlier, I believe employer brand management, when it's up and running and as I described, it must be a springboard for the top. Now, I want to write something about that, suitably researched. We haven't talked about the city. And I think my second area of development is to raise the profile of the employer brand amongst city fund managers and analysts. Mm-hmm. I want to harness their brain power and need to really get under the skin of the companies they consider investing in. Get them probing this whole area. Get them seeing the human resource director, not just the finance director, the chairman or the CEO. Surely it's essential in forecasting future earnings. Otherwise, by just looking at the numbers, it's like somebody said, it's like driving using the rear view mirror. Mm. The tougher the questions from fund managers, the higher the chances of senior people emerging who can answer them. I think the third area is changing the way M&A is managed. I've helped on numerous deals, and I've done deals myself, and I know the pressure for completion of a deal, how powerful that is. It's a mixture of greed and fear. Advisor league tables, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, etc., they show deals done. They don't show what happens post-completion. Yet, when deals fail and people fret about why, up come employer brand area reasons, cultural differences,
yep,
leadership disagreements, failure to integrate, too much pressure to deliver synergies promised during the deal-making period. It needs to change. And the fourth and final one, and you may think this is kind of blue sky, but I think employer brand thinking has a potential role beyond that of employers. Think about political parties, appropriate this week, governments, nations and groups of nations. What, for example, is the employer brand of England post-Brexit, for example? It's an interesting subject. It's going to change.
Yeah.
Quite radically. Some good, some bad.
Hmm.
What's the employer brand of Europe? Is that a place you want to work compared to the Far East, compared to the United States? So it's this is not the theory of employer brand management is not that difficult. It's the application that makes it so testing. I hope that helps.
Yes, and I know you would like to invite people to engage with you on these ideas for the future. Where can people connect with yourself,
well,
Simon?
I'm based in London. My email is simon@simonbarrow.org.uk, and our website is sbaemployerbrand.com, and you find quite a bit of stuff on that. And I need feedback, and I need people to talk to, particularly about the four areas that I finished this interview with.
Mm.
So I'd welcome contact from those who listen to this. But thank you, Jürgen.
Thank you, Simon. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for your time.
All right. I hope that was useful. What a gentleman Simon is, huh? I could have listened to him all day. Everything Simon and I discussed will, of course, be in the show notes article, which you'll be able to find on Undercover Recruiter, as well as employerbrandingpodcast.com. Now, just to remind you, Simon's email is simon@simonbarrow.org.uk. And he is keen to hear from you about the next steps for employer brand management. Now, in other news, it is still that time of the year. Who likes champagne? How about getting a bottle of bubbly sent straight to your desk? All I'd like to ask is that you give an honest review of this podcast in iTunes or the podcast app on iOS, basically, and you'll automatically be in the draw. Very simple. Many thanks in advance for leaving a review and helping us out. Now, finally, if you want to learn more about Link Humans, or if you have any questions around employer branding, or should I say employer brand, Simon, feel free to email me at jorgen@linkhumans.com. That's it for this week. Many thanks for tuning in and catch you next time. Hej då!
My funniest business joke, I'm indebted to the great David Bernstein for, is an old gentleman. Unfortunately, he's been knocked over in the street. He's okay, but he's waiting for the ambulance. Somebody's given him an overcoat and he's lying there. And an old lady comes up to him and says, leans over him and says, "Are you comfortable?" He says, "I make a living."